Good evening, everyone. Greet you in Jesus' name. It's good to be back with you. For a message this evening, I've chosen to look at a few verses, pretty familiar verses in Proverbs chapter 4, at the very end of the chapter, starting at verse 23. So if you want to turn there, I'll read those verses and then we'll talk through them a little bit. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And I feel like the devotions was a really good introduction to this message this evening, thinking about our hearts, thinking about our life, and how the two go together. For a title, if you want to write the title of the message, I've given it a title of Life Matters. And I like the word matter because it can be kind of a play on words here a little bit. So in my opinion, these verses talk about things that matter in life, and it also talks about the matters of life. And so when you say life matters, I think it works both ways, and I thought it was pretty clever for coming up with that, to be honest with you. But anyway, be that as it may, I do enjoy that that word because it works that way. And so here we have this passage that teaches us that life does not just happen to us. We can live that way if we want to. We can live as if life just happens. But the proverb writer says that it's better if we think about life something that we take an action towards. And we think about how we live. The psalmist tells us that we have, what, an average of 70 years to live, something like that. That's kind of the standard that we use. Although recently I just heard a statistic that the average age for a widow is 59. So that would indicate that either these ladies are marrying old men or the age is not quite 70 anymore. Anyway, I just found that to be quite interesting, that that's the average age of a widow is 59. So these verses, though, speaking of the lifespan, we have a life, however many years God gives us to live. And these verses teach us that we are to pay attention to life and ourselves and how it works. So how, I would like to look at the this message in a couple of points. The key to it all, I think, or the primary theme, I think, is what I want to say there, is that we should keep our hearts. And that's in verse 23. And then the question is, how do we do that? And I think the rest of the passage tells us different ways we can do that. That's how I'm approaching this set of verses here. And so we do that by, first of all, watching our mouth. Second, by staying focused. Third, we watch where we're going. And fourth, we stay on track. That's how we're going to break this message down. So first of all, let's look at this phrase of keeping our hearts. Keeping our hearts is so important because here the writer says that out of it are the issues of life. Another way that we might think of it, this is not original with me. I heard this in a message that I listened to a while back, a number of years ago. He suggested that maybe one of the ways we could think about this verse is that we could say, out of it, the life issues. And Jesus would kind of indicate that whenever he says in Matthew 15, verses 18 through 20, that it is out of the heart that proceeds all evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, witness, false witness, and blasphemies. That's kind of what Jesus, I think, is saying, and it bears this out as well. That out of it, the life issues, or out of it are the issues of life. Either way, it makes good sense. So keep thy heart is a phrase with three words in it. Keeping has the idea of watching or guarding it or nurturing it. We don't use this term so much, but you may have run across it in some older literature or something where you would say that someone keeps cows. It makes sense. Like we would understand that, or somebody that keeps dogs or something like that. We know what it means whenever we say that somebody keeps something. We don't necessarily say it that way anymore. But the point is that it has the same idea of taking care of it and making sure that it's well taken care of. If somebody keeps house, for instance, that's another way you could think of it. A woman keeps house. It has to do with making sure that it's taken care of. The second word is thy, which indicates that this is something that is personal. And in the sense that while we can work out, while we can look out for each other, I cannot actually do the work of keeping your heart for you. Neither can you do it for me. Even though we can have meetings like this and we admonish each other and we exhort each other and so on, it still is up to us whether we're going to take care of it the way God wants us to. It's a very personal work. And then the word heart, what is the heart? Well, it's the life, it's the inner soul, if you will. And I believe that this is going to require diligence. It's not going to happen automatically. And the rest of this message is to look at these things that the proverb writer says, and yes, all of them take a certain amount of attention and intention. So first of all, how do we keep our hearts? Well, I suggested that one of the ways that the writer tells us here is to watch our mouths. That's a term that we tell our children sometime whenever they say things maybe they shouldn't say. We say, no, you watch your mouth. Or if somebody says a bad word, you watch your mouth. And that's why I chose that phrase in my message here tonight, is I wanted you to remember it. So we watch our mouth. The proverb writer says that we put away from the froward mouth and perverse lips. Now, froward and perverse are words that we don't use very often. So what does froward mean? Well, the footnote in my Bible suggests that it could be translated as deceitful, which makes some sense. We definitely want to put away deceitful mouth, words. And perverse would have the same sense of perverted or twisted lips. Now, obviously, lips has to do with the words that we use, not necessarily the actual physical appearance. Anyway, when I was, I don't know, I think maybe around 10 or 11 years old, my parents gave me a Bible for my Christmas present. I think it must have been 11, if I remember the date. I still have the Bible at home, and I really like that Bible. It was really nice. Around the same time I got that Bible, there was a man that my parents decided to take in off the streets of Philadelphia. They were having street meetings there, and this man somehow prevailed upon the Mennonites to give him a home to prove that their religion was true and undefiled. And he ended up at our place through various circumstances. And he was not an easy person to like. And one evening on the way home from Winter Bible School, I don't know, are you 11? Who's 11 here? You about 11? So, yes. You're 10. All right, well, it's close. So I'm going to look at you and just imagine this is you. And Leonard was the guy's name. He said something that I didn't like, and I was a little guy, and I said something back to him that probably a 10-year-old should not have said to a full-grown man. I'm sure that's true. Well, he was not happy with me, and so he began to lecture me on the awfulness of a froward mouth. And needless to say, I was not pleased, and nobody came to my defense. And And yet, as a 10, 11-year-old boy, you really can't, like, you can't win against a full-grown man, right? So this isn't going anywhere good. So I remember just being a little bit resentful about the whole thing. And anyway, he took my Bible that night, unknown to me, after I went to bed. And I discovered this upon waking up, and my Bible was not where it was supposed to be. And I like, why is my Bible out here where it is? And upon investigation, I discovered that he took my Bible, and every single place that the book of Proverbs had the word froward, he underlined it in my Bible. I don't know how you would feel about that, Kendrick, but it didn't really make me improve the temptation to not be froward. Let's just say that. Now, I don't know if that, I don't know if froward means like sassy or talking back, but it might. And I'd bring that up just for the sake that our mouths do get us into trouble sometimes, and we end up saying things. And then we say things sometimes like, well, I said that without thinking. And I don't know if that's physically possible or not. I don't know if people understand the thought process well enough to know. I know that thoughts sometimes just occur to us and we don't know why they did, but I don't know if it's possible to have something come out of your mouth without previously at some point processing it. It seems to me that we have to at least at some level process something before it comes out of our mouths. And there's a point for all of this. And the point is that when we listen to ourselves talk, we learn something about what's going on inside. That's the whole point. And so there was something going on inside of a little boy on the way home from Winter Bible School that led him to say things to an adult that he probably shouldn't have said. And there's, you know, if that's what frowardness means, if it means deceitful, there's a reason that we want to deceive. There's a reason that we want to say words that we shouldn't say, whether they're words of flattery or words of anger, words of swearing or whatever words we want to use, slang terms. And so we need to ask ourselves questions about why are those words becoming part of my vocabulary? What is it that's going on in my heart that makes me say that? And I think this is part of keeping our hearts. And so when we find ourselves saying things that we later say we wish we wouldn't have said, then we need to address something deeper and to think about what that's going to mean. And it's probably going to mean some sort of repentance. Second, let's look at the next way to keep our hearts. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on and thine eyelids look straight before thee. This, I give this point the title of keeping focused. Second way to keep our hearts is to keep focused. So looking straight ahead indicates a purpose. And if you watch people anywhere where there's a bunch of people, and the favorite place that I enjoy watching people is airports, because there's just so many of them there. And there's so many different ones, right? They're just all stripes of humanity there. Every age group is represented, and every demographic pretty much. And so when you go to an airport, for instance, and you watch people, it's not really very hard at all to know whether that person has a three-hour layover like you do or whether they are trying hard to get to their gate. Because one of them is not looking right on and the other one's eyelids are straight ahead. Like they know where they're going and they are going to get there. It's similar if you're in a large store like Lowe's or someplace like that and you have the time to watch somebody. If you watch someone browsing or walking through a store, you know exactly whether they're there to kill time or whether they know exactly what they want and where it's kept. It's just the way they walk and the way they go to the shelf and they look what they want and they grab it and they check out. And I use that for an illustration of how we should approach our own life. Are there lots of distractions? Jesus says that no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And so in life, we need to stay focused because life really matters. We believe that life is more than just a playground. As Christians, we believe it's a battleground. And while we enjoy life in many ways, we have to understand that there's plenty of distractions out there. There's plenty of things that are going to take our attention away. And it's going to be tempting to take our eyes off the goal and not be looking right on and having our fixed focus. Peripheral things like pleasure, popularity, entertainment, wealth, and possessions, and even just the acquisition of it, is going to cause us to move our vision away from the kingdom of God. And so if we find ourselves increasingly enchanted with those things, it's a way to check up on our hearts. Why is it that I'm more concerned with making a profit or making sure that I have the latest and greatest fad or whatever? What is driving that? Why is it that we find our Bible reading taking a back seat or something like that? It's because something else is taking that place. It's guaranteed to be that way, and it's going to show something about where our heart really is. The third thing, watch where you're going. That's how I titled this point. And that's verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet and let thy ways be established. Watch where you're going. This is similar to the point we just talked about, but the point we just covered where we talked about looking straight on or right on and straight before us, keeping focused. This, I think, has more to do with vision and the understanding of what it is that we're pursuing. It's more about plotting and staying on track. Jesus told us that we're to count the cost of following him, and maybe that's what it means. Pondering means to think or to weigh a matter before making decisions. And so we need a vision of where we want to go, and then we ponder the path of our feet. And we ask ourselves these questions. Will this path take me where I want to go? Is it going to take me away from God, or is it going to take me toward God? And if you want to know the answer to that question, we all have a little bit of history behind us. And so if we think about where we started in our Christian life, pick a date, whatever it is that you want, maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, and think about where we are now. And we think, if I just keep going that direction, what's the likely outcome of this? Am I growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Am I growing in my love for righteousness? Am I growing in my sensitivity to the Spirit? Am I growing in my appreciation for church structure and godly authority? Am I growing in my appreciation for the admonition of the brotherhood? And if those answers are no, that I'm actually moving away from that and I'm finding myself resenting those things, that's telling us something about our hearts. And we need to take stock of that. And we can probably keep a pretty good cover for a good while. But if we're honest with ourselves, we know where the path is going to take us. And the thing about life is, if we are Christians and we believe in eternal life, then I think that the way we walk through life, we're going to just continue to walk that direction in the afterlife. And what I mean by that is that if we've been walking toward God, we're going to walk right into his arms, if you will. And if we're walking away from him, that's the way we're going to die. It's not like there's going to be any tricks or games at the very end. And so pondering the path of our feet is an absolute necessity for us if we want to keep our hearts. And watching where we're going is going to tell us something about what our hearts are doing. Last point, how do we keep our hearts? We stay on track. Verse 27. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. This is the last in the list of what I consider keys to help us keep our hearts. It seems as if, after all of these things, the writer still sees the need to warn us to stay straight on. Don't second guess. Have you ever wondered about apostasy? Have you ever been tempted with it? Have you ever wondered why you're tempted with it? I don't know if I can answer those questions for you, but for me it goes something like this. The present rewards do not seem to be great enough to keep this up. something like that. And the eternal reward seems so far away that we may or may not get there. Something like that. That's just honest confession from me. And so the temptation then is to start turning to the right hand and to the left. And the temptation is to say, well, I can dabble with a little evil. And that's not true. Our hearts, to keep our hearts, we must stay on track. We must remember to stay straight, not turning to the right hand or to the left, and to keep our feet from evil. This vision of God's kingdom and the importance of life must stay on our brain. And it's going to require some thought. And so I'd like to just finish up by some observations about keeping our hearts, just kind of some practical things to think about, even though the rest of this is all very practical. But remember that life does seem sometimes to be long and wearing. Sometimes it does. Depending on where you're at in life, it just seems like it's not going anywhere. And then you blink your eyes and you discover that you're way past where you thought you might be. And then it still seems long. But then in some ways it seems very short, doesn't it? Both of those observations, whether life seems long or life seems short, does not diminish the need to keep our hearts with all diligence. Sometimes it seems as if we are standing alone, and that can make it difficult to keep our hearts. I don't know if you face this at all or not, but sometimes it seems that way, that nobody else cares about the things I care about. I don't know if you're ever tempted with that. And when I say the things I care about, I'm not talking about just daily grind. I prefer, you know, cold weather to hot weather sort of thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about caring about the issues of life. It seems as if sometimes there's just nobody else. Well, Elijah faced that, and God had to teach him some things about that. The fact is we're surrounded by people that care, and perhaps all it takes is for us to ask some questions and just seek some help. Nothing wrong with admitting that it's difficult to keep our values straight because there's a bunch of people around us that are willing to help. And as I said, it's a personal discipline. So while we have plenty of help, it still does come back to us. And sometimes that's why it's hard, because it's personal and it takes a lifetime. But let's not give up. Because eternity, no matter how long life seems, eternity is much, much, much longer. And Jesus is our example. And if you read Hebrews 12, verse 1, you don't need to turn there. But in conclusion, Hebrews 12, 1 says, wherefore, and this is after Hebrews 11, where we have all those people that are noted for pondering the path of their feet and for keeping the goal, their faith. And the writer says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so this is offered to us after looking at all these heroes of faith. We do not have the dramatic portrayal of what Noah went through when he was building the ark. We don't know what he felt. We don't know the discouragement he faced. We do not know the fear that he faced. We don't know any of that. The Bible just says Noah built an ark to the saving of his house. That's all we know. And then we're to look to him as an example of patient endurance and to staying on course. But we know that these people were people. And so we know that there was something to that. And whether or not we can read the story, with all of the emotion doesn't change the fact that there are faithful people ahead of us and that we can enter into that fellowship with them in eternity. And I think if we could somehow poll all of them and ask them on a scale of 1 to 10, was it worth it? We know what they would say. We don't have to poll them. We know what they would say. And Jesus would be there as well. And so that's just the conclusion of this message, to keep our hearts, because no matter how wearing and tiring it is, and no matter how it seems in the moment, it will matter in the end whether we keep going or give up. I don't know if it's obvious to you or not, but at council meeting, it seems to me that I always end up basically preaching my testimony. So I guess you can just take everything I just said and say, well, that's where he is. And that would be about right. And I'm glad to be able to have peace with God through Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I sense that more keenly. As I get older, it seems as if, I guess that's the way it's supposed to be, that there's a certain amount of, I was going to say hubris, but I don't know if that's the right word, of youth, that we just pretty much have it all together. Maybe y'all don't feel that way, I don't know, but I kind of remember feeling that way. Like, why do these old people struggle so much? Well, now I know. why old people struggle, and I'm not even that old. But anyway, I do want to continue to serve the Lord and serve you all here in any way that I can. And I appreciate each of you, and as far as I know, I'm at peace with all of you. And appreciate our church as a body and what we stand for, and I want to be part of communion on Sunday. I'm going to ask the ministry to share their testimonies and then look to y'all.